Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Noah's excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Let your goodness come to the house. Your goodness is your word. Let your mercies come to the house. Your mercy is your spirit. We receive it abundantly. Keep this house with your truth. Keep this house with your truth. Keep this house with your life. That when men are leaving this place, they are going back with the truth. Thank you, Almighty God. I have no power of my own. I'm as feeble as any of those old Levitical priests. The difference between me and them is the Holy Ghost. I ask for the blessing of the Holy Ghost. I ask for the utterance from the heaven. I ask for the spirit of righteousness, the spirit of utterance. Grant me utterance. Let me speak to the heir of salvation as the things that pertain to God. Let everything that has to do with men be taken away from me. I have my God. I put away my God. I make you as my God. I make you as my help. I make you as my house. I make you as my dependence. Absolutely. Speak to us. Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It is taken to be spoken of because we are in the season of the feast of priests. Praise God. We are in the season of the feast of priests. There are specific times that is called Kairos in the calendar of God when God in his own wisdom and understanding decided to loose certain spirit upon the church in order to empower them for the next program. Praise God. But what God is trying to do is to empower the church now and to bring us back into the things that are long, long forgotten, which is the inheritance of the church. Praise God. Are the inheritance of the church. Over and again, I've said it in this pulpit and saying it now. The inheritance of the church is not in what we is not in what we have. It's not in the house that we build. It's not in the car that now, some people have attributed the riches of those ephemeras. They are corruptible things. The riches of God are incorruptible. And it is in this strength that I want to ask the Holy Ghost to help me to that we will know what we should focus. I read from the book of 1 Peter in chapter 1. The book of 1 Peter in chapter 1. And I begin to read from verse 21. Let me take it from verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 1, I read from verse 21. He said, "Who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Your hope and your faith and hope might be in God. "See, ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfailing love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." Praise God. Praise God. Now, the concept of the natural birth of a is a type of the spiritual birth of an individual. And it is very, very important for us to draw our, to draw a metaphor from the concept of this natural birth individual. Now, it takes two agencies to bring forth a man or a woman on earth. It takes how many agencies? Two agencies. And those agencies are called parents. The father, the mother. Praise God. Now, with one of them, I can't hear. How the contribution of those vital things, vital liquid that my father contributed unto my mom, there won't be anyone called Bola. So it's very, 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 very critical for us to understand that truth. And without the presence of my mom, who have the capacity, who have the womb to carry me for the space of 9 months and for me to suck from the blood and share from the nutrient that flow in her, I cannot survive in her womb. And of course, after I have been brought forth, the issue of being nursed, sucking from her breast, is also very critical and important even to my survivor. So I need two of them for me to become what I want to become in life. Of course, at the time when I am weaned from my mom, then my father take over, especially the area where I needed to be instructed and to be taught. And this is the reason why we have a lot of dysfunctional people in the church as a result of dysfunctional parents. Not because they wanted to be dysfunctional, but because their parents, they come from a dysfunctional family. Listen, I've said this over and again, that your parents have a broken home, that you have a broken home, does not make you a dysfunctional person. But what makes you a dysfunctional person is as a result of those nutrients, those upbringing, those tutelage, those instructions that are supposed to come from the father, that your father or your mother were not there to give unto you, or they were there to give to you, they did not have those instructions upon your life, could make you a dysfunctional individual. Praise God. That's why Yoruba say, there are some people that they taught, but they are not ready. But somebody must be there to enforce it. Somebody must be there to make sure that that instruction is enforced. So in other words, these two major agencies are very, very critical. They are very, very important to our upbringing. Without them, we can't survive. We need them. Not that truth. We need them. We require them in our lives. Praise God. And so, in talking, spiritual birth. When we talk about spiritual birth, it also requires two agencies for us to come into the place of priesthood. Hallelujah. Pastor Adari, you are welcome. Pastor Thompson Ehima, you are welcome. Thank you for blessing us. We appreciate you. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, in the area of, like I have said, that it took a father, it took two agencies to bring forth a child, the same thing, it also required two agencies to form a priest. It required two agencies to form a priest. And this is the problem we have in the church, because we stay, it's the same problem. And now we can draw this pattern from the life of Israel. Amen. We can draw this pattern from tabernacle, from the construction of the tabernacle, because it will also help us when we look at all this pattern and we begin to liking it with what we make our salvation to be effective in the faith of the Son of God. Praise God. Because we have people that they don't have that faith. They don't even know what they call the faith of the Son of God. All they have is this issue, faith to trust God and to believe God for their name. The life of a man is not contained in the abundance of what he has. Praise God. And this is what we are reading in that scripture, because there is what we call corruptible. There is what we call the incorruptible. The corruptible will give birth to a corruptible person. Now,
Of course, you will look at it as we move on in this that all of these things are required, but they are not the major thing. They are not what we should focus upon, because if we focus on those things, we will discover that we can't come to the place of priesthood. Hallelujah. Now, he said in verse 21, he said, being born again, not of corruptible seed. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. That's a takeoff. That's a starting point. And that is why it is always very important for each and every one of us to daily and continually check our foundation. We must continually and daily check our foundation. We have a lot of religious people. As a result of the foundation, praise God. You can imagine, if somebody preached to me and put my all upon what I will acquire from Christ, that is, I am being born by the corruptible. What gives birth to me in that concept is corruptible. And so my hope is only on things that I will surely acquire, not on things that I will become in Him. Praise God. For what I will acquire is not, can only be corruptible, because the Bible says, even the subsequent flower, they are the glory of the flower. Those things are what? The glory of the flower. The Bible says the flower faded. They fade off. They fade away. They don't have capacity and root to stand. They can't stand the storm. They can't stand the wind. In the days of trials, they will collapse. They won't stand. Because what they were born of is corruptible seed. And so it is very, very important and very, very critical for us to begin to check that foundation. For us to begin to look at that foundation. Praise God. He said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forevermore. Now, there is something that is critical in what? In my thought that I am trying to mashar for you, and that is, it's in verse 22. He says, seeing ye have your soul, see, oh, in obeying truth. In obeying truth. God. Like I said, a takeoff. But there is a need for us to journey further, because we require another agent. Praise God. We need another agency who will take us further from that place of salvation where we are born again, where we have received Jesus Christ into our life as our Lord and our Savior, to further our journey. Because what they are calling us to acquire is not of the heart, it's not of this realm, it's of the heavenly realm. There is something incorruptible that was in the mind of God when the Lord Jesus Christ was sent to the world to come and die for the sins of the world. It's not just for the forgiveness of sin alone. And we have established that truth. Sin could be forgiven without shedding of the blood. After all, in Jordan, we saw sin be forgiven. Blood has not been shed. The Lord Jesus Christ has not shed His blood when His eyes walk. Your sins are forgiven. Praise God. So we see that sin could be forgiven. In other words, the death of Christ at the hard cross of Calvary is much more than the issue of sin. It is about the inheritance. It is about bringing us into the inheritance of the Father. So, when they are calling us joint heir, then we need to look at it, that are we heir true heir of God? Have we actually become the heir of salvation? Hallelujah. So, we need to look at certain things that are very vital. Hallelujah. In other words, somebody has given witness about Christ. When he was approaching the Jordan, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the Lord Jesus said, "My witness is not from man. I don't take witness from man." As good as that witness was, because at that point in time, John the Baptist was known, recognized, established priest that men were running. They were running to Jordan in order to receive the teaching and the baptism of John. So when John validates an individual, that individual is validated, is known. But the Lord Jesus says, "No, I have a greater witness than him. There's a greater witness than this man. I don't receive the witness of a man. There is a greater witness than this. And that witness was the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And that witness was the Holy Ghost. He said, look at it. He said, "There's another that beareth witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true." So, we can say that we have saved, good for us. But we are not supposed to remain at that point. We need to take up our journey and the transportation that we require, or the transporter for this journey, is the Holy Ghost. Why? Because where they are taking us is far further. Praise God. Now listen. When you look at the concept of the tabernacle, you will discover that they have three layers. There are three layers. And in the same token, we have three types of priests. We have the priest of outer courts. Praise God. We have the priest of outer court. We have the priest of the holy place. And we have the priest of the holiest. Praise God. Now, when the veil was broken, what we understand is that we all have access. Not just we can journey from the outer court to the holy place and to the holiest of all. The holiest of all is a place of perfection. And that is where we inherit our priesthood. Listen. All Levites are not priests. But all priests are Levites. Praise God. All priests have potential, all Levites have potential to become priests. But not all Levites have become priests. This is the case with the church. And this is the scenario with the Israelites. Look at the book of Romans chapter 9. The book of Romans chapter 9. Let me quickly. From verse 3 to 4. Look at the thought of Paul. He said, "For I could wish that myself accursed from Christ." That was after the similitude of what Moses was saying. When he said, "Take away my name from the book of life if you won't take this people further." There is need to journey further. He said, people will say that it's just because you cannot save them. You kill them in the wilderness. If you have to kill these people, it's good for you to take away my name from your book of life. That was an incredible quest from God. Can somebody ask for that? Wow, that's a priest. And the same concept is what Paul is doing here. He said, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ." The word accursed is that taken away, separated. Separated, yes. Not part of him, sir. No, cut off. Cut me off. In other words, people that are cut off from Christ, though they are in the church, they don't have part of him. Do you understand? Myself were accursed from Christ For my brethren. That's a passion of a priest. For my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Verse 4. Look, who are Israelites, to whom pertains the adoption? Now, they have the adoption. They have been adopted into the family of God through the oath that is sworn unto Abraham, and they remain the adopted sons of God till eternity. But to be adopted is not enough. There is something that adopted child must come to. And if I adopt a child, it's not adopting my character, my nature, my belief system, my value system, that which I have owed so tenaciously. He cannot come into my inheritance. There's no way he can come into my inheritance. I would say, no wonder. He's an adopted child. If this one had come from my womb, he won't behave that way. Hallelujah. And the glory, of course, they have the glory. They have the glory. They have both the glory of the world. They also have the glory of seeing God. They see God. They carry the weight of priesthood. They have handled things. Praise God. But that's not it. That's not the end of it. And the covenant. And I've spoken about the covenant that was orchestrated through Abraham. And the covenant. And giving of the law, they have all of this. But one thing that they don't have, and the service, they have the service. But one thing that they have not had is the promise. And the promise as of a one, which is the Son of the living God. That's the promise. They don't have that. They have all other things, but they are yet to come in to the promise. Praise God. So, when we talk about the priest of outer courts, we are talking about the priest who have all of this thing, but the last he does not have. The frenzy of the atmosphere in outer court. The joy of the crowd in the outer court. That which is being said in the outer court. And when you look at the outer court, you will discover that, now of course, in the outer court, that's have the blessing. Yes, praise God. They have a washing instrument there, but there is no shewbread. They don't have shewbread in the outer court. All they could minister to is their flesh. They are the priests of flesh. They mind the things of flesh. They can't proceed further than the things of the flesh. Their administration is just administration. They don't think of the spiritual things that can bring children into inheritance or that can bring us into the priesthood oppression. Because we need a strong meat before we can come into the oppression of a priest. They don't have all those things. All they have is the washing, carnal ordinances, carnal things. They could minister to the flesh. And you see them, they say, could you go and prosper? Yes. It is also part of the glory of the Son. But that is a corruptible glory. Praise God. After all, in the book of John in chapter 6, when we begin to read from verse 27 or so, can you give me that scripture? You will discover that Jesus Christ promised us of all of these things. But there is something that we need first before those things could become an asset in our hand to advance the cause of glory. Listen, if I have money today, I have the money for the cause of the work, not my own need, not for my children. Of course, the children and my wife benefit from me, but most importantly, it is for God. It is for God. It is for God. The kingship and the throne that we acquire is to advance those things for God, for the cause of God. So, in other words, if it is for the cause of the gospel, then I cannot effectively marshal or utilize those things when I don't have the gospel. I can't. I will use it for my carnality. Listen, carnality does not say that you are not born again. Do you understand that? Of course, he talked to the people of Corinthians. He said, you are yet carnal. Yes, I know you are born again, but you are still carnal. A carnal Christian is a Christian who always mind the things that benefit flesh. You always mind things that benefit flesh. You always mind things that benefit flesh. He doesn't mind things that will benefit God. And the book of Hebrews chapter 5 verse 1 made it abundantly know that a priest is chosen among men concerning the things that pertains God. It's for the things that pertains God, not for the things that pertains men. Praise God. So we have the minister of the outer court. They will stop people from, they say we are pleased. Yeah. That is exactly what happened to the Jews. They were contented with miracles. They were contented with signs and wonders. What again? You know, they were talking to Christ, show us the sign. He said, you this past evil generation, who show you any sign except the sign of Jonah? Praise God. What sign is he going to give to the Jew that Moses has not given? Praise God. Jesus Christ, they are still asking for sign. He has walked upon the sea. They are still asking for sign. So something is wrong with the head of each and every one of us that think that our life is embedded in these miracles. Do you understand? Am I saying that miracle is not valid? Yeah, it's valid. Very valid. Very valid. It's part of the inheritance. But miracle comes even as we are ministering the word. Healing is taking place even as we are ministering the word. Deliverance is taking place even as we are ministering the word. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So they are contented. They stay at the outer court and they refuse to journey further into the holy place. And until you get to the holy place, you can't become a priest. Now, I cannot understand what Peter meant when he was talking from the perspective, from his own perspective, in the book of 1 Peter, in chapter 2. Can you please quickly give me that scripture? 2 verse 9. Consider this. Because these are what we need before we can get there. Before we can become priests. Unfortunately, again, we have taken this as a carnal message from Peter. And so also we say, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, to show for the praises of him who had called us out of darkness, into his marvelous light. Praise God. Beautiful song. But we don't understand what it means to be chosen. Now, he said, but ye are a chosen. The word chosen is the same word for elect. Praise God. It's the same concept of elect. Now, the word elect, that election is not as a result of what you have done, what you are, but as a result of the wisdom of the electorate. Praise God. It's the electorate that consider it in their council of heaven. And they just say, okay, we are going to elect this person. And when an individual is elected, he is elected for a particular assignment. There's an assignment in which, we understand the reason why Nigeria is not progressing, because when they promise us, how many of our leaders have promised that when they want to do their campaign, how we do this, how we do that, and we, hey, Buhari, those of us that are pensioners in the military, we say, yes, he's one of us. He's one of us. And we begin to contribute money. Wow. We begin to contribute money. Praise God. Because normally, when you leave the service, your mates that are still presently in the service, you hand the same salary with them. They promote them, they jack up your salary. But Obasanjo just came and said, nonsense. What are they doing? Let them go and die in the breach. And that salary was pegged. at the point in time, he said, okay, let's give them consideration because I was once part of them. Give them 35% of it. And we celebrated it. But when Jonathan came, he stopped it. Because he stopped it. He said, they are not contributing to the economic sector. I remember what I wrote. I wrote a piece. And they were calling me. I said, we are not contributing to the economic sector. Then we will make sure that we destroy the economic sector of Nigeria. We are trained to do that. It's our work. We will do it. Then you will know that even by our silence, we are making contribution to the economic progress of Nigeria. And somebody called me and said, we check your record. You did not properly leave Navy. And I know that was as a result of my rat-up. I said, I did not properly. I said, then you are blind. That was my answer. I said, you must be blind. Go and check the record again. You must be very blind. I have all my papers with me. You must be very blind. And he said, but why are you writing that? I said, well, I said, you will soon join us. I know you must be a DSS. You soon join us. And your case will be very miserable because no one will fight for you. Say, we have people who can fight for us. But for you, praise God. What am I saying? We brought them into that position based on the promises. Praise God. Pray based on, and of course, because they have promised to do something. The same thing. When they are deciding our election in heaven, there is a specific assignment which was marshaled for us, and it's one assignment. It's not two assignments. My assignment is not different from your assignment, sir. Praise God. It's the same assignment. We are given the same hope. We are given the same work. And if I separate myself from that assignment, I become worker of iniquities. I become worker of iniquities. I become a priest of outer courts. Praise God. I don't want people to journey along. So when he's talking about chosen generation, he's talking about the elect. People that are elected for a particular assignment. Even though they are not carefully, they may not be carefully elected. But it is not a random election. Listen to this. I said it again many years back. The book of Romans in chapter 1 verse 28. When he was talking about to them that, can you quickly give me and go back? Let me quickly, Mashai taught here. Can you please quickly run there? Romans, okay. Go up. He was talking about for they that predestinated. Now, that's the word predestination. Every one of us. Romans 8. Every one of us, whether Muslim, Abalist, we are all predestinated. We are all predestinated. It is not an arbitrary consideration of choosing one, they choose Pastor Adare, and they leave me. No, that's not what God did. It's an open thing. So it is you that need to come and key into that predestined thing. Praise God. So when he's talking about chosen, we are chosen. We are chosen. Now the word generation is another word that is compact. Now, that generation is not talking about, ages. This age. It's an open thing, chosen generation. It's not about the generation of Peter alone. It's not just about our generation alone. It's an open thing, a particular generation. It's not a time frame thing. Matthew chapter 4. Let me quickly buttress that. Matthew 4. Let's look at verse 1. Yes. Okay, the book of the generation of Jesus. Look at this. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. Pastor, it doesn't look like your English. Praise God. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. In other words, these are specific men that left a footprint. You understand? They left a print in the sand of time. There is a banner that they carry that was handed over to the next and subsequent generation. They need to run with it, and it can never be obliterated. They are the revolutionary. They have a sense of revolution. You can imagine Abraham. Let's start with him. Abraham, leave your land. Leave your kindred. Go to the land which I will show to you. I'm sure when Abraham was going, some people would say, madman, Toti Bere Walai. Where is he going now? And for somebody to live in Mesopotamia, the most developed nation, country, the most prosperous land upon the face of the earth at that time, to go to the jungle. That's revolution. He hearkened that voice and he began to go. He got into another place. He built a tabernacle. He said, remove your tent. Move again. He got to another place. Sincerely, to Jimmy, man, I got and she auto of confusion now. If it ever mummy lo mummy debe. Tell me, do this. I will say it. God have mercy on me. Praise God. But not with Abraham. He's a man that has a sense of revolution. He was going, Abraham, at another time, take your son, your only son. In case you forget your only son, because there is just one that I recognize, Isaac, whom you love, take him to the Mount Moriah. I know your daughter, sir. That pretty, pretty, intelligent girl. And you hear the voice of God. I say, no more sacrifice. Praise God. There is no other sacrifice apart from the sacrifice that... Do you understand? You will argue your way. Chosen generation. These are the generation that God wants us to become. And he took Isaac into that month, and he took knife. Put knife. And he said, Abraham, now I know that thou lovest me. Look up. Even Tobias and Mania, I've gone this far. But your devil won't buy me sorrow. Do you understand? These are the people, a generation. They are revolution in their mind. The concept of their doing is aligned with the thought of God. They don't do their own things. They are doing the things of the Father. They are not walking according to the flesh. They are walking by the Spirit. That is the toxic generation. It can become our generation. Now, we have such generation in our times. The generation of Martin Luther's. Oh, yes. How can a man have such comfort? And you say, anathema! Anathema! What the Catholic is doing is wrong. And they say, your life for it. Blood for blood. Flesh for flesh. You will not live the next day. And he pioneered a move in which we are working. We can't forget that generation. We cannot forget that generation. This is what we call a chosen generation. So you need to begin to ask yourself, am I qualified to be called a chosen generation? After the other, or you want to talk about David. David, that rascal king and priest. Praise God. I call him rascal king and priest. How can David, who understood the law, could go to the temple and hurt the bread, the shoe bread of a priest? That's revolutionary. That's revolutionary. Sir, I think it was you that read something to Rob from the book of Jeremiah. It's you, sir. When a priest. Okay. Or everybody. Everybody. Do you understand? And they pursue him. And the Bible said that those priests are valiant. They would have as well pursued David. Do you understand what I'm saying? My father in heaven. They pursued that priest. They would have as well pursued David and kill him. Yes, the man was also a king like David. And the description of that king fit much more better in the attainment of he was the father engineer of Israel.
He was the pioneer. He did a lot of things. Do you remember the pipe that he did even to channel waters? Praise God. And so he was beloved. He was loved. But he cannot. But David did it because he was doing it according to the order. There is, in other words, the veil of the temple will be torn where everybody can come and partake of the shewbread. It was a shadow of the New Testament church or the priest after the order of Melchizedek. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So that is what we call a choosing generation. Now, they talk about the royal priesthood. In other words, we need to begin to look at this thing. Are we that generation? We can be. Praise God. When we begin to confront the dross and idols in our family. Hallelujah. I was a baby Christian. If I tell you where I came from, you will cringe. They eat people normally. Their food is, their meal is food, is human. Praise God. And of course, yes, in Ikoyi, a genuine. Of course, we were regenerated. Praise God. And I remember that there was a massive house. That house was built by my grandfather, and they said nobody can pull down that house. That you cannot pull down that house. You cannot afford to pull that house. I wasn't this deep. But I know that this Christ is stronger than those witches. And there are three of them. One of them is about 92. That all his children are gone. And two of them. The other one was 105. All their children were gone. But if they change. Sometimes you just see them, they become a little girl. That's why Christians that are, if you marry outside the church, you will marry a witch. In Jesus' name. Praise God. If you marry outside the church, you will marry a witch. Praise God. You are in trouble. You can't go outside the church. If you go and marry that kind of woman, you see those women, sometimes they look so young. Mama okwe mama kilo sele. Ani ola oloni. And it wasn't. I remember I just went home and I said, yes, I've come to pull down this house. You have to move away. The man said, of course, if my mother was still alive, she won't allow me to do it. My father will not allow me to do it. My father specifically called me and warned me about some people. Don't fight with these people. Don't talk with these people. I know you are a troublesome person, but separate yourself from these people. I'm not saying you should not be their friend, but don't contend anything with them. I just went there. I said, I'm breaking this house. And I said, and I am doing it today. He said, even if they will see your father, they are not. I said, okay, we will see. I'm not bringing people to pull it down from here in this land. I'm bringing people from Lagos. And I started pulling it down. As a matter of fact, one of them died before the house was done. So that means their power is there. Praise God. That was revolution. People were looking at it. Who is this boy? Who did this? Of course, what happened? After I built the house, they put caterpillar in it again. And he said the road must pass through that. Praise God. Yes. And they pulled down the house again. But at least I have break, and in the process people died. That is two generations. We can also fit into it. Every one of us for Christ. I'm not saying you should go and confront witches in your village when you don't have the muscle. Priesthood muscle. Don't become a pepper soup. But be sure that you are doing it, and you are doing it for Christ. Now, he said, a royal priesthood. Now, a royal priesthood, we see it in the order of David. We also see it in the order of Melchizedek. I think they have taught us on that. We saw a priest and a king. And that is, now, when we talk about royal priesthood, we are talking about a governmental institution. We are talking about governmental institution. Somebody who can legislate. And at the same time, he can still preside over the things of God. Somebody who can execute judgment, vengeance. The book of Isaiah. Let me quickly show you a scripture. I think Isaiah 45. Let me quickly show you a scripture. I'm rounding up. I know my time is gone. But I just need to finish this thought. Otherwise, the message may not be, Isaiah book? Isaiah, don't disappoint me. He said, my elect. Please, let me look for it. My elect, in whom I uphold. 45, verse 1. My elect, in whom I uphold. Quickly, he said, for Jacob, okay. Thus saith the Lord, his anointed is Cyrus. No, this is not it. I'm not talking of Cyrus. There is right hand and have heard. Okay, we all know it. Do go and search for it. Okay, he said, Jacob my servant said, and he said, my elect, I have even called thee by your name. By your name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. Of course, the process is for him to be drawn into the knowing. He must know. And that is the situation. We are elected to know God, but we are yet to know him. And it's important for us. That is why we have a meeting like this. It's not to entertain ourselves. A lot of exercise, energy, strength, finances, fight and argument has gone into this meeting. Praise God. No, we do it this way. No, Ashebeye. No, we will do it this way. And thank God we have a very large hearted pastor who take criticism. He tell him, no, pastor, we won't do it that way. He said, that's how I want to do it. But if you have a superior argument, he said, okay, we look into it. When you hear, we look into it. Know that your matter is already sailed through. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, that is what we are talking about. We are called to organize this kind of program in order to build us and to make us to become a priest and to come into that office. Now, quickly go back. Let me round up my thought. The last one. This is very, very important. That 1 Peter chapter 2, okay, he said, and a peculiar people. When he called you a peculiar people now, you are not a people, sir. A peculiar people. First and foremost, you are an individual. But beyond the individual, there is people in you. Ah, hallelujah. There are certain people that are attached to that responsibility that is given unto you. And if it is just for you, that is why I pity people who run their ministry based on self. You won't be a people. How proud are you yesterday when you are talking about, hey, Popla Day, hey, my sister there, and so on. You are giving their story. People. These are people that came out of this work, this responsibility. A peculiar people. In other words, a priest is not ordained for himself alone. He's ordained for people, and he must give birth to people. People must come out of his loins. Just like you came out of the loins of Abraham, people must... You are not a priest if you don't have such testimony. You're just walking into it. Praise the name of the Lord. And this is another word. I won't dare it. Because it's if I give you the description of this, that you should show forth the praises of him. You should show forth the praises of him. It's not, hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus Jabba, hallelujah. No, that's not the praises of him. There are frightening things about God. There are terrible things about God. There are dread in which you must come to. In other words, look at Moses. He came into the presence of God. Praise God. When he began to say, by my word, he said, in fact, he was betting on himself before Pharaoh, that yes, that will be done. This I will also do. This shall also be done. He said, entreat your God that he should take this thing away. He said, yes. It's Moses. You understand? So he was taking glory. He said, yes, that will be done.
That's a man that has come to the presence of God. That's a man that carried the presence. The presence of God is the hall of God. It's those things that they can see in God, the feature and the characteristics of God made manifest in the life of a priest. And we saw it in the life of Aaron. We saw it in the life of, it was so apparent in the life of Moses. You remember what happened? Moses said, okay, every one of you take up your censer. You don't know the difference between Levite and a priest. All of you, 52 of you, take up your censer and we will meet. Today we will know. You remember Miriam? Miriam was the sister. He practically nursed that boy. And he was saying, my Lord, that's the presence of God. Do we have that kind of horror in us? Do we have that kind of trait in us? So when he's talking about showing for the presence of him that has called us, there is something that he has in mind that we must come to. Surely we will come into it. I say we will come into it. The Holy Ghost will help us to come into it. It looks so difficult, but we are very close. We will get there in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. Thank you because the entrance of your word giveth life. We ask that this one become life into your people. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let it become a race for them to run. Let it become a path in which they must follow. Let it become a vision in which they must come into. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Blessed be to the name of the Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.